From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Phillies Today podcast. I am your host, Dan Wilson, and I mean, what a ball game. What a ball game last night. Phillies win 2-1, extra innings over the Brewers. They improved to 43-19, tied for the best record in Major League Baseball. Feels like this team wins each and every night. It feels like they win all sorts of games, and that was my first kind of takeaway from this. Really quickly recapping the game, I should say. You know, Phillies do win this 1-10. Once again, the Brewers open up with Jared Koenig. He was their opener. And then Colin Ray, he went for four innings. And on the Phillies side, it was Christopher Sanchez. He goes six innings. He allows four hits, one run, only three strikeouts, goes 83 pitches. Jose Ruiz goes a scoreless inning. Orion Kerkering goes a scoreless inning. Matt Strom has been one of the best relief pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. He goes a scoreless inning. Sir Anthony Dominguez goes a scoreless top of the 10th with the inherited ghost runner there on second base. And the Phillies win this 1-2-1 following a walk-off from Nick Castellanos. This team has been incredible. And my first takeaway from this game is that this team just wins all different kinds of ball games. It feels like they can win shootouts. It feels like they blow out teams pretty frequently. It feels like they can win pitcher's duels like the one last night. They win this game 2-1. And it was a game that, I mean, frankly, if you're not like a baseball diehard, if you're not someone who gets caught up in the nuances of pitching and the fundamentals of pitching, things of that nature, you probably would have been pretty bored. The Phillies didn't score in this game until, what was it, the eighth inning when Alec Boehm opened up the scoring in the eighth. I mean, if you're sitting at that game there last night, probably relatively bored. I mean, a lot of people there probably just like, all right, and Phillies don't score again, and they don't score again, and they don't score again. But it's funny, when you watch these kinds of games, I never sit there and say, oh, I have doubt that the Phillies are going to find a way to win this. I never sit there and say, oh, it is, you know, I'm concerned that tonight's just not their night. It feels like the difference between, you know, years past and this team and good teams versus even great teams. And I think that is what we are watching right now. I think we are watching a really, really great baseball team, at least in the regular season. Obviously it matters what they do in the playoffs, but I think right now we are watching a great regular season baseball team. I think the ability to watch a team stress-free, the ability to sit there and say, man, like that, even if it's, you know, it looks like they won't score for 20 innings, I believe that they'll win this game. The only game I can think of this season where it felt like they wouldn't have scored, no matter how long the game went, was there was a game in San Francisco. It was the Tuesday night 9:45 game, where it felt like that game, they could have played 30 innings, the Phillies offense would have never pushed a run across. And they lost a 1-0 game in the bottom of the 10th on a sacrifice fly by the Giants, and the Giants couldn't score anything either, for what it's worth. But they got a runner on second, and they found a way to push theirs across. Whatever, you're going to have games like that no matter how good you are. But this Phillies team in general, more oftentimes than not, you feel pretty confident that they're going to find a way to get it done. You generally feel pretty, pretty good about this team's ability to find ways to win games. And they did it again last night. They, you know, Boehm homers in the eighth, brand new ball game. And at that point, it was like, oh, the Brewers are screwed. Like, you know, they're going to get into extra innings here. Advantage home team, especially with a runner on second base, and especially after the Brewers don't score. I saw this stat from Destiny Legardo of Phillies Nation last night. The Brewers entering last night were 28-1 when leading after seven innings this season, now 28-2. I mean, that's just remarkable. This isn't a team. This isn't some Mickey Mouse opponent. This isn't some team that has been a pushover all year. For all the naysayers and people who have believed that, you know, they only beat up the Phillies being the Phillies only beat up on sub-500 baseball teams, it's just not true. I mean, they've taken the first two of this series against the Brewers, and they're a division leader. I mean, they're a team who could really they could match up with again later in October. And how fun would that be? You know, Rhys Hoskins in the playoffs coming in as a visitor to Citizens Bank Park. And I know a lot has been made this series about the Hoskins return, but I think, you know, arguably, and more importantly, what the takeaway now on the other end of it has been, and there is one more game left today coming up at 4:05 at Citizens Bank Park before the Phillies, you know, cross the pond, as they say, and head to London to play the Mets, is that they're playing a real baseball team here, and they have already won this series. Like, they have already found a way to win a series with a real team who is at atop the NL Central. And again, it's not postseason baseball yet, but the Phillies are beating anyone who you throw at them. You know, they have some big series coming up later on, I think in July. They play the Yankees. They're the fellow, you know, they're tied for the best record in baseball right now. Certainly that will be a big test at Citizens Bank Park, though not a National League team. They obviously have the Dodgers for two series, one in L.A., one at home later on this season. But for the most part, they have not shown signs of, you know, they haven't shown signs of, oh, they get a real team in front of them and they're slowing down. No, this looks like a great baseball team who you have confidence can win day after day after day after day after day, night after night after night, no matter, you know, what day you're going or what who they're playing. They're going to find a way to win. And I think that's why they won this series over the Brewers. I know they had a bit of a rocky road trip, those things happen. They've kind of picked right back up where they left off upon the homestand. And that is why they are at 43-19 right now. Again, tied for best record in baseball. The Yankees share that record. As far as the National League is concerned, they're obviously in first place, have a 7-game lead over those Atlanta Braves. The Brewers, who are leading the NL Central, have 7 fewer wins than the Phillies do. And the Dodgers, who obviously had the loudest offseason of anyone and, you know, World Series favorites, have 38 wins at this point. So Phillies holding serve. Phillies really, really holding serve and doing their part as far as, you know, it comes to holding their end of the bargain when it, you know, dominating not just bad teams, but good teams as well. And they, you know, these have been real. They're not coasting to 10 runs. You know, they won on, was it Monday night by a score of 3-1. They beat the Brewers last night 2-1. A little bit of a different personality to this game. But I think that's huge. I think it is absolutely, absolutely huge to see how this team can win different types of games, win different types of games against different types of teams. And it doesn't really feel like it matters who they play on a nightly basis. So that was my first takeaway. Second takeaway is just how freaking great this rotation has been. I mean, just how unbelievably consistent and good and in a number of cases, all-star level, this team has really been. And the Phillies haven't had more than 2 all-stars since back in 2012, I believe it was. Yes, they haven't had more than 2 all-stars, as I check my notes here, since back in 2012 when they had 3. Cole Hamels, Jonathan Papelbon, and Carlos Ruiz. They've never had more than 5. You could make the argument for, I mean, take last night, for example. Matt Strom has not allowed an earned run since opening day. I know he's not a closer, and a lot of times they look for saves when it comes to the All-Star game. That certainly weighs more heavily, so I hope that doesn't count against him. But Matt Strom has been one of the best, you know, middle relief guys, setup guys, whatever you want to call him, in the bigs this year. And his ERA went down to 0.72, and his whip is 0.76. Pretty damn good. Like, pretty damn good. Jeff Hoffman has been unbelievable this season, and that's just out of the bullpen. This rotation, one guy who will not be at the All-Star game this year will be Christopher Sanchez, but he's been really good. His ERA is 2.71, a whip of 1.34, goes 6 innings, 1 run last night against, again, a division leader, one of the better teams in baseball. And I think something that's kind of been under-talked about thus far is the fact that Spencer Turnbull, when he got moved to the bullpen, and say what you will about him being moved to the bullpen over Taijuan Walker, you know, are they managing his innings? Do you buy that they, you know, that it doesn't really just have to do with money? I believe that there's certainly something to that, that Taijuan Walker was signed here to be a starter. They have a lot of financial commitment to him. They're trying to make it work every which possible way with him. Do I necessarily agree with it? No, but that's what they're doing. But they moved Turnbull to the bullpen, and the idea was, hey, we're going to piggyback him off of Christopher Sanchez. That's not what has really taken place here. Like, Christopher Sanchez has almost been too good to need a piggyback. They, if anything, feels like they should be piggybacking him off of Taiwan Walker. But it's created this situation where you're almost like Thompson's almost trying to like find work for Spencer Turnbull, which is like kind of a funny predicament to be in, that you're trying to find work for him instead of like actually needing him. He goes three innings the other day when Ranger Suarez has to leave early with injury. But for the most part, this rotation has been pretty healthy. And for the most part, you haven't really needed, like, you haven't really needed Spencer Turnbull, which is a great problem to have. It's great to have an excess pitching. You know, every, you know, the old adage is, and every old-time baseball guy says, you can never have too much pitching. Well, the Phillies might actually have too much pitching for the first time ever. Every coach who ever says that usually needs more pitching. The Phillies actually have enough of it. Sanchez not going to be an all-star, but Ranger Suarez has been one of the best pitchers in the majors this season. Zach Wheeler might be the best pitcher in the major leagues, you know, period. And Aaron Nola has been unbelievably consistent and always takes down a ton of innings and has also been really, really good. So I don't know if they can get all three of them in there. And I haven't even gotten to the offense yet. I will do that on the other side of the break here. But continue to talk about just how good this rotation has been and how good, frankly, just this team has been, how many all-stars they could actually find themselves come July. So that's on the other side. You are, of course, listening to the you're listening to the Phillies Today podcast with Dan Wilson. And yeah, I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Philly Today podcast. I'm your host, Dan Wilson. And yeah, so continuing to talk about just how good, I want to get back to the rotation for a second. Other all-stars they might have, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto at catcher, you know, Alec Bohm's cooled down a little bit, you know, so maybe not him, but certainly on the pitching side, they have a number of cases, starting pitching relievers. There's five guys with strong cases on offense. Harper, Realmuto, I think certainly have strong cases. So interesting to see what happens there. I think Trey Turner might have been on pace. He's just not going to have enough games to get there. So that's as far as just dreaming about all the Phillies red we're going to see at the All-Star game. But getting back to this rotation and how good it's been, I mean, Christopher Sanchez has really been, I'll say the, I don't even know if you, like, has been the pleasant surprise, the positive surprise. You got Aaron Nola going later on today in the series finale against the Brewers. Him, along with Zach Wheeler, along with Ranger Suarez. There was a stat here I had about just how good this team has been. I'll have to look through my notes for it. But I believe it was that the Phillies have four pitchers. I mean, Nola, if you can believe it, has the highest ERA of all of them. I think the stat was that the Phillies have four pitchers under 305 ERA, Nola currently at 303, and that no other team in the major leagues right now has three guys under that mark, under that 305 mark. And that's unbelievable. I mean, it is easy to take for granted. We've had some good pitching staffs around here, especially, you know, even in my own lifetime. And I grew up on those 07 to 11 teams towards the back end of that, you know, 09, 10, 11 especially. You had some really, really dominant pitching staffs, Halliday, Lee, Hamels, Oswald. And we're seeing a staff that is pitching like they're just as good. I mean, they are really pitching like they're just as good. I really thought, I mean, Roy Halladay. It's almost impossible to be as good as that guy is. The guy's in the Hall of Fame. He's in Cooperstown for a reason. But, I mean, with how good this staff has been, it's quite possible that by the end of the season, we look back on this 2024 Phillies team, especially if they hit that wins mark, and maybe they clear that 2011 wins mark. Maybe they win 103 plus games, but even if they're in that 100 win type of discussion, it's very possible that by season's end, we're looking at a situation where it's like, hey, the Phillies are just that talented. They're really just that good. And this pitching staff is that talented and that good that they're among the best, if not the best, in the history of the franchise. So really, really cool that the Phillies have, you know, it feels like the bullpen, you never, I mean, when was the last time there's been a mop-up inning for this team? Really, never feels like they're just losing. You have to bring someone in to clean it up. I guess you could think back to that Monday game in San Francisco where it felt like Rob Thompson left in Taiwan Walker just a little bit too long. So that was a little frustrating. But for the most part, this pitching staff has been phenomenal, really, really good. And the third part I wanted to get to here, and this has been a thorn in the Phillies' side for, you know, frankly, a while, is just the play of Nick Castellanos lately. Now, I'm not over the moon. I'm not overrating what he has done. I'm not here to say that he is playing anything remotely close up to the caliber of his contract. He has his OPS all the way up to 619. It's bad. He's still really, really bad. But dare I say that he's actually like looked like some remote threat up at the plate, which for the first 2 months of the season, he is not. I mean, he's the walk-off last night, obviously, but it feels like he's been a tad more selective at the plate. It feels like, feels like he's been a tad more, you know, swinging at pitches that are actually in his wheelhouse that other pitchers know they can't just get him out by throwing junk up there. And that when he gets, you know, he actually can identify that, you know, a lot of times in a major league at bat, you might only get one really good pitch to hit, and then he's actually like getting better at identifying that. Looks hitterish, if you will. Like Nick Castellanos actually looks like a bit of a ball player, and he's someone who clearly is not sitting out. He's the only guy on the team. He's played all 62 games thus far, starting in right field every single day. He's the Iron Man, who hits 619 for his OPS. 214 batting average, 277 on base, 342 slugging. Like, he leads the team in at bats. He's got 234 of the, like, it is unreal how much, what a low bar it was, but basically that he's played each and every single day. But the fact that we're here and the fact that he looks hitterish, again, just something to keep an eye on, it is something that is certainly encouraging and something that's certainly, you know, a positive to see. So that's what I had from last night's game. Wanted to preview the series finale and kind of just the week ahead in the final few minutes here. So later on today, Aaron Nola, pair of Aarons, Phillies and Brewers series finale, Aaron Nola, Aaron Ashby, 4:05 at Citizens Bank Park. A little bizarre that they're starting this game at 4:05, not 1:05 with the flight to London, but they do have 2 days off. So, you know, kind of makes sense. It doesn't really make a difference. Like, Phillies are going to land in London tonight. They're going to be doing MLB, you know, sanctioned events all day Thursday, all day Friday, and then the games. And they're going to play a game Eastern time, 1:10 Eastern, 6:10 local on Saturday, 10:10 a.m. Eastern, 3:10 p.m. local in London at, you know, the appropriately named London Stadium. So really, really cool. I'm very much looking forward to this weekend. Not that I'm going or anything, but just watching from afar, watching from across the pond. It's cool when things like this happen. The Eagles are obviously going to Brazil a little bit later on this year. The Eagles already went to London a few years ago. The Sixers went to London, kind of a forgettable game against the Celtics a few years back. But the Eagles have already been to London. They play the Jaguars. The Eagles are going to Brazil later on this year. Philly's playing in London. They're really playing this up. The MLB has done the London series before. They did it last year. But really looking forward to see what they do here in year two. Of course, Philly's Mets, it'll be a Philly-New York thing, Philly-New York rivalry. Interested to just kind of see what they make of the whole weekend, how into it the players get. I know Bryce Harper's already been talking that he's got a, you know, big things planned in terms of the bat and what he wears on his arm guard and his cleats. And we know how much Bryce Harper likes to lean into that kind of thing. So really looking forward to see what he and the entire team has planned here. Currently scheduled, so it's obviously bizarre in season for the Phillies to have two off days in a row, but that is the scenario here. Right now on Saturday, scheduled for Ranger Suarez against Sean Manaea, and on Sunday, scheduled for Jose Quintana versus Taiwan Walker. And Phillies will be the quote-unquote road team on Saturday. They will be the home team on Sunday, so both the Phillies and Mets will be losing a home game in this series, so they got that part of it. right? Phillies have 80 home games instead of 81 this year. Mets have 80 instead of 81 this year. But very much looking forward to it. And then they have another off day on Monday before they start a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3-day trip in Boston. So very, very cool. I think the whole trip is going to be really, really cool. As far as the pitching rotation goes, they're basically keeping everything in order. As of now, they're scheduled to have Ranger Suarez start. The hope is that he can make that start. Obviously left the game early the other day due to a comebacker. I think they would move everyone up one spot if they needed to, because obviously they're not using these two off days to their quote-unquote advantage to like move Zach Wheeler up or move Suarez or move Nola up. They're keeping the rotation through, and no one is going to miss a start. Not even Taijuan Walker, not Christopher Sanchez. No one's going to miss a start. They're going to make their starts all in a row here and just give those guys some extra rest. And they're pitching a lot of innings. And so I think that's smart. We're sitting here in June to manage their innings that way and really kind of give these guys some well-deserved rest and just let them be their best against the Red Sox next week. I mean, I know it's probably cool. I'm sure it'll be a cool thing getting the ball for a game over in London in front of an international audience. But you got to be smart. Remember that the entire season does not revolve around this coming weekend. But this is a 162 long haul. And I think Rob Thompson knows that in the way that he's managing this, certainly. So that's what I have as far as this week ahead. Hopefully that I wouldn't think they would, but they don't mail in this game today with the Brewers, another National League team who, again, they could see later down the road. Remember, there's no tiebreakers these days anymore, no tiebreaking, you know, game 163 for seeding. And the Brewers are a good team, so, and they still have to play three games in Milwaukee later on this season. So it's certainly not a situation where you can just mail a game like this in, like you could have tiebreakers with them or whatever the case might be. So got to make sure that you take today's game seriously. You're not just looking ahead to London. You can't be, you know, thinking that far ahead, you know, quite yet. I think win today's game, go over to London, enjoy yourself, and go win a couple of games that way. So that's going to do it for today's edition of the Phillies Today podcast. I've been your host, Dan Wilson. I believe it is Francisco Rojas, who will have you tomorrow. Enjoy the game later on today. Enjoy all the festivities in London later this weekend. If you have a chance to go, obviously very, very, very cool. Once again, I've been Dan Wilson. This has been the Wednesday, June 5th, 2024 edition of the Phillies Today podcast.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.